Today on Real Radio.
That's being a disciple of Jesus. We'll never forget. But we can forgive moment by moment, day by day, those that have sinned against us.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his verse-by-verse series through the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel. You know, the concept of loving your enemies is often viewed as a New Testament idea. Yet in chapter 24 of 1 Samuel, David, despite his flaws, gives us a good example of one kind of godly behavior, not repaying evil with evil. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs now in a lesson taken from 1 Samuel chapter 24 called simply, Loving Your Enemies.
That your emotions will say things to you inside the recesses of your heart. I wish he or she or they, God would just take them away. Now, we would never voice that publicly. And if we thought it, and we do, in our head, instantly the Lord says, now, stop that right now. And we have to repent. We have to ask God, please forgive me. And then we have to ask him the next thing. Lord, give me your love for those that hate me or for those that are against me. And it's easy for us, for every one of us, to find that person or those people that don't like us and get together with others and begin this horrible sin of just tearing them apart. My, you know what she, oh, you know what else she does, and she, this, and you know what? You take the sin of someone and you allow it to invade your life, and now, believe it or not, by doing that, we enter into their sin. You say, well, wait a minute, they're the bad guy. I know they're the bad guy, but you know what? God deals with bad guys. We're not to deal with the bad guy. We're to love our enemies. And there's a way to do that. The first thing is, God is speaking to David and saying, this is not right. You cut the hem of Saul's garment. Fine print, translated. God is the one who cuts the hems off of men's garments. It's expensive to love your enemies. You can't do it on your own. None of us can. You say, well, Pastor, I'm a really nice person. I think I can maybe pull it off. Then you don't have a real enemy. But loving your enemies, yeah, it's expensive. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 says, you have heard that it was said by those that you should love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes, listen, his sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even tax collectors do the same? Or in other words, don't bad guys love bad guys? That's normal. But listen, the innocent, they don't naturally love their attacker. But in Matthew chapter 5, when the Lord speaks to us concerning the Sermon on the Mount, he's talking about the spirit of the heart of the believer. What is our mind to be like? Isn't it neat that David, who was pre-Pentecost, who was pre-birth of the church, who was pre-the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, is acting, thinking, and conducting himself like a born-again believer. Isn't that neat? Wasn't Abraham justified by faith? How are you justified? By faith. Just like of old, just like of new. And so David is now, by the Holy Spirit, he's convicted. And that's a very powerful thing. Well, listen, your enemy will act upon false information. We learned that in verses 1 through 7. Look at verses 1 and 2. That Saul heard that David was out there, and so Saul goes after David. Just mark this down and we'll breeze through it. Your enemies are acting upon false information. People will say something to them about you, and they'll form an opinion. It's wrong. that they're doing it, but they'll form an opinion, they'll hate you, they'll come after you, and the very basis of their action against you is probably false. Did you know that? Have you ever had that happen in your life? I've had that happen in my life. When someone is used, in my opinion, by Satan to tell somebody else something that's not true. And then that person, they what? They said that about me? Yeah, they sure did. Well, you know what? And it never even happened. And so now this guy or this gal, they're all hurt and upset. They want to tear each other apart. And it's all their anxiety and anger is based upon a false premise. Satan loves this stuff. That's why the Bible says that God hates those. That's a strong word, isn't it? God hates those who sow discord among the brothers. Wow. That's powerful. The enemy will act upon false information. We learn that in verses 1 and 2. By the way, remember this in 1 Corinthians 14:33. The Bible says that God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. As he is in all the churches of the saints, 1 Corinthians 14:33 says. Satan loves lies. John chapter 8, verses 42 to 44, the Bible tells us that Satan loves lies. He's the father of lies, and he's been a liar from the beginning. So Saul is told some information. Now, Saul quite clearly is against David anyway, but there's fuel to the fire. You see how this is snowballing, and yet God would have David to love his enemies, and God would have us to love our enemies. In verses 3 and 4, as we look to this section, what loving your enemy looks like or what it's like, listen, you'll desire to justify your innocence. Did you know that? If somebody attacks you, what do you want to do? Anybody? You want to defend yourself. It's not true. That's not the way I am, or I didn't do that, or I didn't say that. Look, the temptation to justify yourself is overwhelmingly strong. Very few people can control it. I'm telling you now. It is best to let God defend your innocence. Let me put it to you maybe in a scenario of experience. It's possible that you know of a situation. Maybe you are a spectator to it. And party A is attacking party B, but party B doesn't respond back. You stop and look at party B and you begin to analyze who or what are they? Why are they not retaliating back? Why are they not fighting back in defense of the accusations? Listen. They must be guilty if they're not fighting back, the world says. Right? Come on, we're all guilty of that. We see it on TV. Oh, this guy was arrested. He was accused of this. He didn't say anything. 3 days later, he still hasn't made a statement. Well, he must be guilty. The evilness of our own hearts indict people like that. Try them and condemn them before anything more comes out. We're so quick that way. David was like that. I'm like that. You're like that. It's the human nature, yet it's sinful. It's wrong. So party B is not responding. Well, he must be guilty or she must be guilty. How come he's not saying anything? Boy, if I was innocent, I would stand. In fact, I'd run an ad in the newspaper. Just watch out. That works in the world to a point. PR spin is powerful. And the temptation's overwhelming to use it. Best to let God defend you. You say, Jack, are you kidding me? I am not kidding you. I can tell you through experience, I have learned to let God defend you. He does a much better job. Don't do it. If you think I'm going to sit back and let that guy say that about me, okay, then go. Go. You're going to do it. You're going to just go. And you're going to get all messed up and bloody-nosed. And aren't we being more like Jesus if we're attacked wrongly, falsely, And the scripture says we take it well. And I know the temptation is overwhelmingly so to defend ourselves. Let God defend your innocence. Are you innocent? Then let God defend you. And you know what? He will not only defend you, He will promote you. And there's a lot of young people in here tonight. You learn this quickly, and you'll be a lot happier along the way. Let God defend you. There's a timing that the Lord has. And it's best to yield to His timing. In verses 5 through 7, we learn that loving your enemy is like your life will be troubled by it all. It's true. That will happen. When you love your enemy, what does it look like? Well, your life will be troubled by it all, meaning this, that when you have an enemy and they're attacking you, you will have to pick up your cross daily to follow Jesus in this area. Listen, some of you need to hear this to get freedom. God has never asked us, and He has never stated or required of us to forget. Did you know this person hurt me 25 years ago, and I just can't forget it. You know what? You want to know why you can't forget it? You and I do not have the ability to forget such things. You can't do it. That's a divine power that only God has. Did you know that? God is the only one who can forget. Your sins, my sins, what does the Bible say? He forgets them. What do I do about my sin? I remind myself about it all the time. And if I don't, my family will. But God forgets. God's power to forget sin is His. It's a divine power. But what has God called us to do? Forgive. How? When? Peter asked that question. Hey, if the guy I know, man, the enemy against me, my neighbor, if he sins against me, should I forgive him 7 times, Jesus? I bet you Peter thought he was being really generous. He probably impressed all the guys around him. Jesus, should I forgive him 7 times? What do you think of that, John? 7 times. I'm willing to forgive that guy that ripped us off out of that boat deal. 7 times. What do you say, Jesus? Jesus says, not 7 times, Peter, but 70 times 7. In other words, an infinite number, not 490. That's it. That's the 483rd time. I'll forgive you, but you're running really low on forgiveness, I'm telling you. That's not what it means. Innumerable amounts. Nonstop. Forevermore. See, that's the picking up of the cross daily, especially when you see them. Okay, I'm forgiving them. Lord, oh, there they are. Lord, grant me the grace to forgive them of what they've done against me, Lord, in Jesus' name. You have to do that every day. And it may be to the day you die. Isn't that tough? That's being a Christian, though. That's being a disciple of Jesus. We'll never forget. But we can forgive moment by moment, day by day, those that have sinned against us. I read a little thing the other day. Somebody sent it to me. I hope I get this right. This little boy wanted to pray. He heard his family praying. He wanted to try it for the first time, and he said something like this. He said, God, I'm asking that you would help me, that you would forgive me of the trash that I passed and those that have passed trash about me instead of trespass against me who passed trash. Forgive me for my passing the trash and those that have passed trash about me. Isn't that right? I mean, that's it. Passing trash. What do you do with those people? You got to forgive them. And in doing so, we're walking like Jesus. David's learning this. And what a beautiful thing that we see here. He's troubled by that. He's troubled by it. He's got to deal with it. Loving your enemy is allowing yourself to be troubled when you put them down, when you talk them down, when you're rude to them. The Holy Spirit will speak to you and say, like David of old, I'm speaking to you. They may be treating you this way, but you are not to act that way. It's so easy for us as humans to say, well, She's this way to me, so I'm going to be that way back. That's the world. And that's not the thing to do. Verses 8 to 15, loving your enemy, what does it look like? Well, how about this? What loving your enemy does. Not only what it looks like, and we're seeing that in David's life, but what loving your enemy does. This is a powerful thing, people. I want to share a few things as we get into this. What loving your enemy does by action. The first thing we see here in verse 8 is this, that it sets us free as we move in humility. It sets us free. It's an action. If we're going to be loving our enemy, it's going to be an action. You can try to convince yourself, well, I love my enemy. I'm going to obey Jesus. I love him. They'll never know that. We're going to see how God will touch David's heart to communicate to Saul that David does love him in the Lord. Did you hear what I said? David does love Saul in the Lord. In other words, David's loving Saul for Jesus' sake. Sometimes that's all it comes down to. Did you know that? Sometimes that's the way it has to be. I tell you, hold your place right here and, write it down. We don't have the time. Go look at Romans chapter 12, verses 9 to 21. Wow. About loving your enemies? Paul picks up where Jesus was speaking and Paul says, listen, not only love those that are against you and speak against you, but listen, and we get this all wrong. He says, in so doing, you'll heap coals of fire upon their head. You say, yeah, what verse is that? That sounds cool. I don't have any coals of fire, but can I use a shotgun? That's not what it means. Coals of fire. It's to take the fire from your hearth and your home that's cooking your food, giving light to your family, warming your home, to take part of that fire from your house, put it in the specially woven basket that they transferred fire in, on top of your head, go to your neighbor's house who the guy can't stand you, and say, I notice your house is dark. What are you freezing? Yeah, we're cold. What do you care? I just noticed it was dark in here. What are you doing on my porch? I'm just giving you some fire for your house. Here's the basket. The guy pours it into his hearth, gets a fire going. He can cook food, warm his family, have light, hand you back the basket. And that's how you win friends and influence people. You do that to an enemy. Do you have an enemy? Target them with things like that. Bless them. Listen, it's a lot of fun. Bless them. It'd drive them nuts. You see something, you know, oh, look at this. This is really cute. Boy, this is really nice. Buy two. One for you and one for them. Say, you know what? Hey, neighbor. Everyone's got a neighbor, right? You got a neighbor that's got an insane dog or something that, you know, everyone's got a problem there. A tree hanging in your yard. Hey, this chainsaw was on sale at Home Depot. I bought two. No, but you know what I mean. You bless the guy, and it's like, what are you doing this for? Well, look, we've had our differences, and I've probably been a pretty miserable Christian witness to you, but this was the right thing to do. I'll talk to you later. Walk away. In Romans 12, verse 18, it says, as much as it is possible, live peaceable with all people. Don't you love the practicality of the Bible? That means there's some people that when you see them, it's like, what are you doing here? Hi, how's it going? That's all it should be. As much as it is possible, live at peace with all. Even in the body of Christ, there's some people, you just don't get along. Just be cordial, be Christ-like. You don't have to sit down next to them, put your arm around them, and, well, how is your summer? And you guys are like gasoline and fire. It just doesn't work. In the Lord, pray for them. In the Lord, love them. But walk in wisdom. You're brothers and sisters. You'll be in heaven together. But right now, it's just, you two have this personality. It just doesn't work. Now, let me make this clear. I'm not talking about a husband and wife here tonight. I see some ladies going. No, I'm not encouraging you. I'm talking about brothers and brothers or brothers and sisters in the Lord, and you just don't get along. Everything, you say something and they take it wrong. You know those kind of relationships? It's like, I didn't even mean that. What did you, you know what? Let's just agree to say hi to each other, okay? And we'll talk in heaven when all that stuff's out of us. Oh, really? Frees us up, sets us free. It says in verse 8, David also arose afterward and went out of the cave and called out to Saul. Man, this is humility, isn't it? This is humble. Saying, my Lord the King. And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face down toward the earth and bowed down. Wow. David knew he was in the flesh, and now he's in the faith. He's obeying the Lord now. God uses enemies in our lives, people, to keep us humble and usable and open. Don't get upset if you have an enemy. God will use them to hone your Christianity. Someone, I don't remember the name of the book, but it has some sort of a title. It's been out for 20, 30 years. It's Loving Your Irregular Person. Isn't that a nice way of putting it? Who's that? Well, that's my regular person. Well, ask the Lord to give you love for this person and then act upon it. Do the right thing and you'll be free. That step of obedience, Christian, will accomplish for you what no therapist, doctor, drug, or vacation could ever achieve for you. And I'm telling you, it's a powerful thing. Not only that, look at verses 9 through 11. What loving your enemy does in an action powerful in a verb way, because love is a verb, it establishes your heart as you speak the truth in love. David said to Saul, why do you listen to the words of men who say, listen to him speak to Saul, indeed David seeks your harm.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Loving Your Enemies. It's a look at 1 Samuel chapter 24, where David shows restraint and charity towards one of his known adversaries. Loving Your Enemies, part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse exploration of this fascinating Old Testament historical book, and we'll continue with more of Loving Your Enemies on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now remember, we've been telling you about this broadcast outreach known as Real Radio is just a part of our ministry. We have television programs, topical studies, commentaries, devotionals, podcasts if you'd like. It sure does sound like a lot, but that's because our goal is to equip you with the tools you need to present and defend the gospel. And all of our outreaches can be at your fingertips with the smartphone app called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Real Life with Jack Hibbs also happens to be the name of one of our television programs. Now, all you got to do is go to your app store and download it. It's a free app. It's a one-stop shop that features Words to the Wise. That's Pastor Jack's devotional, which you can get in your email box. Topical lessons from Scripture. Also, verse-by-verse studies. And, of course, our Monday night TV program that happens to bear the same name as the app, Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Just go to your app store for Real Life with Jack Hibbs, the free app for your smartphone or tablet. Of course, to learn more, you can always visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.